Father's Day is just around the corner, and you probably need a gift for your hairy dad. Make your dad proud this year and get him and yourself the Manscaped Lawnmower 4.0. You heard that right. The Lawnmower 4.0. Get 20% off and free shipping using the promo code HAYES. That's H-A-Y-E-S at manscaped.com. Use the promo code HAYES at manscaped.com. The Euros, you know, it's been off with the off to a bang so far in Scotland, England drawing 0-0. And
well, we got to ask Caldwell, Hayes. We apparently didn't do the best job of describing the match on the pitch. So right. Maybe he could do that for us. What are some better words we could have used?
Right. We had a bit of an ignorant take, according to some, where we said we don't like ties. You know, we don't love a draw, and it didn't seem like there was a ton of action, but maybe we're looking at it from an ignorant perspective. This is why we bring in an expert. And that's exactly what he is, TSN soccer analyst, one of our favorites, Stephen Caldwell. Maybe the greatest entrance in TSN history today, the kilt, the bagpipes. What was that like for you today, Stephen?
That was special. It really was. It was fantastic coming in like that. Obviously felt like I had to get that kilt on. Whenever we go into battle, we're usually wearing the kilt, so it felt like a battle today down at Wembley, and it was good to wind Wellman up a little bit with some, you know, English history and telling them how many times we beat them in battles in the past.
Yeah, is that on the pitch or in the pub, or what kind of battles are we talking about?
Well, I'm talking about real battles back in the day in the 1300s. When we won one or two in about 200 years.
It was
lighthearted fun. We had a good laugh. And I have to say, throughout the 90-plus minutes, I was pretty calm. I felt good about my team's performance. But Wellman was really quiet, the quietest I've ever seen him. He was panicking. He felt like he was going to lose that wager and he was going to have to wear a kilt after the game, as England were way below par, and we didn't hear too much from him, which is nice to always silence an Englishman. It shows you how well the Scots played on the day.
Well, that's the way we broke it down earlier. From our perspective, it's a 0-0 draw, but if you're in Scotland, you're happy with that outcome. If you're in England, you're not. Is that an appropriate way of breaking it down?
Absolutely, and I think we need to go further than just the result. It's more about the manner of the performance. So you have England, who are expected to beat England, Scotland. They obviously have more quality, and they just didn't perform. They didn't get their big guys playing, and they couldn't move the ball quickly enough to actually stretch the Scots and cause them some defensive problems. And in Scotland, it's that hope again. We always give ourselves that hope. There's always a moment where we feel like we're one win away or a few minutes away from the elusive knockout stages of a major competition. And we're there again. We're going to be playing a formidable team in Croatia, but we're confident that if we play like that, we've got a very good chance of getting through.
With Stephen Caldwell, our TSN soccer analyst. So tomorrow the group of death gets back onto the pitch, and you've got Portugal taking on France tomorrow afternoon, and France obviously got past Germany in the first game of that group, 1-0. It was an own goal, but what do you make of this so far, based on that grouping so far and what you've seen? Who do you like to come out of it, and is there a chance all three teams, Portugal, France, and Germany, all get out of the group?
Yeah, there's a good chance. They're certainly good enough to progress and to be dangerous in this tournament. You know, you saw that first group game between France and Germany. It was high level of quality, really tremendous football match. And the Germans are a good side. They're just maybe a little inexperienced and lacking that cutting edge up top, so that makes them a little bit vulnerable. France, for me, are far and away the best team in the competition defensively, yes, and going forward, and the experience that they have. And the Portuguese had a tough one against Hungary. They weren't at their best. You know, again, they've got some selection issues because they've got so many good players. It's unclear about what their best starting 11 is, their best formation, and the way they can get the best of their players. But ultimately, their quality came through. So that's going to be a great game tomorrow, Portugal-Germany. And, you know, the Germans have to get something from it, I think, to have a real legitimate chance of going through. So it's going to be a bit of a cagey one, probably, that both sides would probably take a point, to be honest.
Well, you mentioned it that based on what they look like on paper, France is maybe the best team of the tournament, and they're the reigning World Cup champs as well. But putting that aside, based on expectation and what we've seen so far, not everyone has played two matches so far, But Italy's obviously off to a great start. Belgium's 2-0. They didn't have a great first half their last time outing against Denmark, but they showed up in the second half. The Netherlands is 2-0. Any team, you know, in particular that has stood out among the others as maybe the team that's in their best form so far early into the group stage?
Yeah, I think that team's Italy, to be honest. They're scintillating. They've been fantastic over two games, scored 6 goals, not conceded. Played some wonderful football. Really a great team to watch. I think everybody's favourite second team if you have a nation in this competition. So I'm enjoying watching them. You know, the Belgians are... I don't know, there's someone that's telling me that they won't get it done, but, you know, the second half performance against Denmark in Copenhagen was mightily impressive, and you've got De Bruyne coming back to fitness, one of the best midfielders in the world, and they're certainly going to be competitive. They feel like this is their time. Where else do we look? You know, we mentioned Portugal. We said that they were a bit off, but they have the experience. They have the players to do a job. And England, you know, playing at home in a number of games, they're going to be there. They're going to have to play a lot better than they did today. You know, let's be honest, Scotland are nowhere near the best teams in this competition. And if they played like that against some of the teams we mentioned there, they would be in big trouble. So, a lot of contenders and one ultimate favourite for me in France, like I said, they've got everything. So to me, they're the out-and-out favourites with you know, a pack behind it. If they find their best form at the right time, certainly could win this competition.
With Stephen Caldwell, the, you know, Euros have decided to do a setup differently this year compared to past tournaments, where instead of having a host city or maybe two host cities, there's multiple ones. You mentioned that Denmark's playing at home in Copenhagen. The Netherlands playing both games in Amsterdam. England playing multiple games at Wembley, including what would be the semis and the final. What do you make of this new setup? Do you like it? Are you a fan of the way that they're spreading out the wealth here in terms of host cities, or would you prefer to go back to the conventional route of picking one city in particular or one country and kind of, you know, spreading it around internally in terms of one particular spot?
Yeah, I like it. I'm enjoying watching the sort of home fans and people getting back into stadiums, and anybody who watched that Portugal-Hungary game in Budapest and that magnificent Puskas Stadium would have just been, you know, loving it after the sort of year and a half I went through, to see fans back and in force like that. It was amazing, and it gave Hungary that little extra edge to take Portugal so deep into the game without them scoring a goal. But when we look at the fairness of it, I don't think it's fair at all. You know, you talk about teams having home games through a group stage and England potentially playing every game at Wembley on the way to a final. It's certainly not fair, in my opinion, but it's been an experiment. It's been nice to see. I think on the back of the pandemic, hopefully the fact we're coming out of that, it's quite lovely to see kind of home fans in stadiums throughout Europe. So enjoying that side, but certainly not fair. No way on earth is it fair for teams to be playing home games in what's supposed to be essentially a neutral tournament.
Right. Well, it's off and running now. It's great to have you back in studio like you were today, and I hope that happens moving forward. The same entrance. It should be in the contract. You should demand that. It has to happen moving forward.
Thanks, guys. Thanks for having me on. Hopefully I can come on again before the end of the tournament.
Absolutely. Sure, we'll lock it in. Always appreciate it. Thank you, Stephen.
See you soon.
There's Stephen Caldwell, our TSN soccer analyst. Big fan of his side today, Scotland. Playing
Dude,
very
that
well.
He's a legend, man.
Such a good guy. Love having
the best.
Him on. The best. We'll lock him in. We'll get him on again down the road for sure.
I want to go out for beers with that guy one night.
Man, he has some stories, I'm sure, as a former player, international for Scotland. He's played all over the world, TFC, whole nine, man. He's done it all. He's seen it all. And all these cities, you know, like, it's not full capacity. Like, watching the match today, Wembley, I don't know what the percentage was, 25%. You know, right. 50% maybe. But it's getting there maybe by the end of the tournament over in Europe. But some great, great cities like Amsterdam, Copenhagen, London, all these different spots hosting. Like Munich, I think Germany's going to have a home game. So it's different. You know, they're trying something different. I don't know if they'll continue it into the future. But at some point, the World Cup's going to be here in 2026, right? 5 years away from that, Canada, U.S., and Mexico. So we have that to look forward to, some international soccer in our backyard. Hopefully Toronto is a host city. We expect that it will be. But I don't think that announcement is coming anytime soon.